The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of God had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. If he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening."
So we think this morning about perhaps a familiar story from the Old Testament. And I'm very aware that in the context of today, I'm very aware that what we need to hear is how we perhaps experience closeness to God. And so I want to just look at this portion of that part of 1 Samuel and just pick out some points about how we engage, or dare I say, fail to engage with a God who loves us so much, with a God we want to put everything we have in, because we know that in relationship with him is the best place we could possibly be to deal with life, to deal with the things that come our way. So the reading comes from part of the history section of the Old Testament. That's to say that it is a record of the Israelite past. So we can't just lift a text out and use it as an instruction for us, as the histories are an account of what happened, and the context is very different. However, we can learn from how people dealt with situations that they were in and how they responded to God. Our reading today seems almost like the perfect movie setup, where we have the mentor and the mentee, the teacher and the pupil, the craftsman and the apprentice, the wisdom of age and the enthusiasm of youth, the master and the Padawan. But what can we take from this scene to help us in our walk today? The first thing we notice is the setting. where we read Samuel ministered under Eli. Samuel was a miracle baby, the answer to his mother's prayers. So Hannah gave Samuel back to God to be trained as a Nazarite, a kind of priest that was dedicated completely to God, because that's what she had vowed to do. Secondly, and my main thought really, my starting point, we read the word of God was rare. There were not many visions. I think that we can identify with that in the UK, in the here and now. We're not overrun with hearing God's voice or receiving visions from him. It's as though the communication then, as now, is down. Maybe there's too much interference. You see, the religious requirements were being run as part of the human side of the dialogue with God, but there seemed to be nothing coming back. Was it that God had nothing to say? Or is it that the people just weren't listening? Well, maybe they had a low expectation. Was it that people were happy with the level of engagement? That their acts of worship and service were enough? Maybe that was complacency. Or was it there was some kind of blockage between God and his people? A barrier between them, which we recognize as sin. It's easy to see these things in the scripture at the start of Samuel. We know from chapters 1 and 2 that the sanctuary or Mishkan was operating at Shiloh. The Ark of the Covenant, which contained the Ten Commandments, and the people believed the very presence of God himself were held at Shiloh. We know that people prayed. We know that people worshipped and made sacrifices and offerings, just as the law required. And we know that here was a desire to serve God, and yet there was little coming back from him. We know too that there was sin, mainly because the people were human and all fall short of the glory of God. And that's why in their system of belief, that's why sacrifices were needed to be made for atonement of sin. So, in order to perhaps move the people on, perhaps in order to move ourselves on into a deeper relationship with God, we can look at those three things. Expectation. You know, when the Israelites really drew close to God, they were so expectant for something to happen that they believed they would die because of his awesome presence. Only the high priests were given the opportunity to take that risk. The very presence of God was so powerful that even those who touched the Ark of the Covenant would fall down dead. And the Ark was taken into battle at the head of the army to ensure victory because of the power of God that it contained. And there lies the background to another film, or many films in fact, the power of the presence of God held within the Ark of the Covenant where the Ten Commandments were kept. But the expectation of God's presence must have waned in some ways, because even Eli took three times to understand that God could be speaking to Samuel. James tells the early Christian church, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And drawing near to him means being single-minded in our focus on him. Was it complacency? It's clear that the people had their acts of worship. But there's a danger that we today, like them, continue in our routine and our pattern of worship and not actually expect God to show up and say something. Is our conversation one-sided? There are so many situations where we see and experience a one-sided conversation. But we have been reminded in Scripture that actually God is not impressed with acts of worship which seem all one way, all show, and not evidenced in behaviour and attitude and wanting to experience God himself. If we do not get our priorities right. When God speaks through the prophet Amos, he says to the people, I hate your show and pretense, the hypocrisy of your religious festivals and solemn assemblies. Because the people were doing them because that's what they did. Because they were following the routine and not approaching the one that the routine was supposed to draw them to. In Revelation, we hear that God's not happy when churches go lukewarm. Our gathered church experience needs to be intentional, where we expect to be built up in relationship with God and be growing in our outward ministry of kingdom building and serving others. So there was that sense of expectation or lack of, that sense of complacency and that barrier of sin. The verse from James, draw near to God and he will draw near to you, goes on to speak about the need to be put right because of sin. Looking back at Eli, his family, his sons, were behaving really badly. Even though Eli was a kind man and loved by the people who looked to him for spiritual guidance, his sons took advantage of their priestly positions. They were corrupt. They stole from the altar. They took advantage of women and brought disrepute to the priesthood and to the sanctuary. And Eli didn't do enough to deal with them and bring them into line. Even though he was the most powerful person in the nation, he was the high priest and he was the judge, the leader of the nation, whom God raised up before the kings were set in place. If you look through the book of Judges, you see God's pattern of bringing leadership before King Saul. God was not impressed with Eli. And Eli had been warned by a man of God back in chapter 2. And this warning about what would happen to Eli's family, who would lose everything, is the message that Samuel repeated to Eli. There was sinful action from the sons, and there was sinful inaction from Eli. There was undealt with sin at the center of worship. Now, when we bring ourselves and when we bring our sinfulness and the things that we've done wrong and the things that are blockages between us and God to our place of worship, either here as gathered church or as we worship in our individual walk with God, We too block the communication just like interference. So then, low expectation, complacency, sin, what are we to do? And I ask, what are we to do? Because these are things that just don't spoil anything for you and me. These are things that hinder our relationship with our God. And it's our relationship with God that sustains us. Let's work just in reverse order. Sin has been dealt with by Jesus at the cross. Once and forever. And the teaching of Jesus is that we need to repent and be forgiven, to turn round and away from the things that are blockages between us and the way that God wants us to be. But you see, the forgiveness that we receive isn't just something that's grabbed as we run. It's something that we actually work out and work through as we journey onwards. Because often there's an ongoing responsibility to walk in that forgiveness. Through Jesus, we're forgiven, and we read that our guilt is taken away. But often there's responsibility for our actions to deal with, which we can cope with going forward because of His grace and help and the guidance of the Spirit. Our lives should be different because we've learned from and grown in our experiences of the forgiveness of sin. We counter complacency by working at our relationship with God. In our vision day about a year ago, there were two phrases that I picked up on that somebody shared. We picked on the need to work on scriptural literacy and spiritual literacy. That is, what we understand through the Bible and what we understand of and through the Holy Spirit, because God speaks through both. Regarding Scripture, how well do we know our Bible? How well do we study it? We need to read the Word of God. Find something that's helpful to us. It might be books or articles. It might be good teaching. And that's what the whole Bible school thing's about. It's not about enjoying Peter Davies speaking to us, though many of us do. It's about actually what is God saying in this printed book, the written word, which is the Word of God. And so you'd expect me to remind you and encourage you to take the opportunity of Bible school. It's absolutely great. Not one of us can say, we know so much about the Bible, I don't need to do that. Or something similar. But we need to engage with the book that God has given. What about our spiritual literacy, or the way we understand and know the Holy Spirit? And that's really the season we are in at the moment in church here, asking God to develop the things of the Holy Spirit, where with the help and gifts of the Spirit, we might encounter God through all manner of things. Through creation, as the Spirit opens our eyes to things in new ways. To prophecies, to dreams, to visions, to pictures and tongues, and to the quiet whisper of His voice. When all these things are brought by the Holy Spirit, we must develop the Spirit within us, which is ready to hear from Him. The hymn says, Spirit to Spirit, Thou dost speak. And in our spiritual selves, we need to work to get ourselves ready. If we were working towards exams, we would be training our intellect, if you like. If we are working towards the 10K next year, then we'll have to work on our physical selves. Some of us more than others. And if we want to engage spiritually with God, we need to work on our spiritual self to enable that communication. Which leads to expectation. We need to expect that God will speak. It's easy to say, but it gets easier to do when we experience more of God doing just that, communicating and engaging with us. Let me say that again. It's easy to say and harder to do to expect God to speak. But as we expect to hear from Him, and we do hear from Him, that expectation rises because we are encouraged. We need to practice that presence of God, hearing God's voice by listening to Him, so that we can hear the direction of God for our personal needs and the needs of others. A listening heart is more of an attitude, a value for our lives than just a natural physical activity. So as Samuel, we need to be dedicated to the Lord. Now, it's been really difficult to try and in any way bring that message this morning, for obvious reasons. But I'm convinced that this is how we need to deal with things, by seeking to be closer to God. It's the only way we can deal with things, by finding ourselves closer and closer to His heart, by being dedicated to the Lord, by working at our relationship with God, by sorting out our sin and our complacency, and by being expectant and open to the Spirit. Getting deeper into God is how we deal with life. So we need to ask God to speak to us today, to speak words for us, ourselves, and to speak words for others. So, we're going to pray. And we're going to pray for others. And we're just going to give God time to speak to us as we're praying for different things. You know, it's very easy when leading worship to reel off the list. Isn't that going through the format and not wanting to hear from God? So we deliberately want God to speak into the situations that we're bringing to Him. And I trust that the Lord will speak into these and other situations. And then we'll sing. We'll sing some songs about wanting to engage deeper with God. So let's pray. Father God, as Samuel was able to show, we desire a relationship where we hear from You. As Samuel encountered You and heard Your message, he faithfully told the message to Eli, even though it was a difficult message. Lord, we ask that we would be able to both hear and act in response to your word to us. Lord, we do pray for those who have lost loved ones, all the bereaved known to us, Lord, for John and Joyce Tapper, the death of their nephew. For Pete and Kat and all the family. And it does seem that there are many, many people just at the moment in our community who are suffering loss of loved ones. Lord, would you bring your peace and comfort and your reassurance of your eternal promises? And Lord, speak to us that we may know words to say if that arises, or the actions of help that we may be required to do. Lord, speak to us. Speak to us about your plan for humanity, that we would be returned to you. Lord, we pray for all who are ill, at home or in hospital, those awaiting tests or operations, Lord, we pray for Heidi, as she faces surgery this week. Pray that you'd be with her, that you'd be with all who tend to her in hospital, and Lord, that there would be success in the operation, and Lord, there would be healing and restoration for Heidi. Lord, speak to us that we might know what to pray, what to say, and what we can do to bring help for Heidi and Phil and the children at this time. Speak to us, Lord, because we are listening. Pray for Kath Clapham and for Paul and the rest of the family at this time, Lord. And we declare that you have the words of eternal life. You are Jesus Christ, the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We come to you. Father, would you speak to Kath and the family, and to us as we seek to support them in whatever way that we can, and for all, Lord, in need at this time. So, Father, we bring ourselves. We bring ourselves wanting to listen. We bring ourselves wanting to be the people that you would have us be. And Lord, we pray for our ongoing relationships with you, where we can hear from you.
Paul says it's been a very tricky morning for many people, and as we for those of us who've been following Isaac on the WhatsApp group, obviously the news came through this morning and it was quite stunning, and I just found myself thinking, and Paul at the start of the service was talking about the everlasting arms of God, and the phrase that was in my head this morning was rest in the arms of Jesus, rest in the arms of Jesus. And I think many of the things like the great hymns and have been inspired in moments of listening to God. Maybe this little verse that I wrote this morning was actually God trying to speak into a situation and remind us something of the promises in the hard times. So it's a poem, I suppose, but it's kind of a prayer for Isaac and the rest of his family. It's called Rest in the Arms of Jesus. Rest in the arms of Jesus, Isaac. Your earthly struggles cease. Rest in the arms of Jesus. No love, no joy, no peace. For loved ones who are left behind, it's hard to understand why God chose such a time as this to pluck you from their hands. We can only trust that God knows best. So rest in the arms of Jesus. Rest in the arms of Jesus, Isaac, which from heaven to earth extend. They're holding you, your mum and dad, and Josh, your brother and friend. They hold you in the touching place where the heavenly veil's thin. They hold you till God pulls it back to let your laughter in. So rest in the arms of Jesus. Rest in the arms of Jesus all. One day he'll reunite. Till then, he'll gently keep you safe, uphold you by his might.